to his contemporaries. Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher of the law. Such men were expected to spend their time interpreting the law. It is no wonder that Jesus frustrated the Pharisees so much, for instead of discussing the law, Jesus kept talking about love. Rabbi, is it okay to pull an ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath or pay taxes to Rome? And can we stone a woman caught in the act of adultery? Each time, Jesus challenged them to quit focusing their mental microscopes on the letter of the law and to see the divine spirit of the law. Jesus wants us to understand that you can keep the law in detail about loving, but you cannot love without being obedient to God's law. Jesus was motivated by love. It was the unifying principles of his earthly life. And the message of John's letter is that Christ's followers must also choose love as a life principle. If we are to walk in his steps, if we are to share in his life, we must share his love. So what are the characteristics of such love? Well, firstly, this kind of love, true love, is not a human characteristic. Its source is God. John talks about God's love. He is talking about God's kind of love. It is the love that has a divine author. Today, we sometimes use the word love too loosely. We call significant people in our lives, we say we love our wives, our husbands, our children. And at the same time, we could love our cat or our dog or our new boat. I love my new carpet, my new curtains, my furniture. What we refer to as love is often really infatuation, affection, lust, concern, or even a bad case of heartburn. Love is not something that you learn in a seminar or from a book. It must be experienced in our own lives. That is why John says, we know love. We know it because we have experienced it in Christ. The cross of Christ is the supreme expression of love. To know Christ's sacrificial love and to accept that cross as our own is to open our lives to fully experience love for the first time. If our culture knows so little real love, it is because we know so little of God. For it is a God of love that we speak of, and if we wish to know God, we must be willing to be loved and to love. And love goes beyond words. It's very practical. It must be applied in daily life. Sometimes with people who are not very loving or lovable. Real love requires us to take our eyes off ourselves and see the needs of others. Christians can be guilty of talking about love but showing very little. One Christian author recalls his first encounter with a Christian. He was walking down a high school corridor when a young woman stepped into his path, held up a Bible to his face, and exclaimed, "You better get right with the Lord or he'll condemn you to hell." For years, his impression of Christians was that they were wild-eyed fanatics carrying 30-pound Bibles in wheelbarrows and screaming at people. His impression of Christ wasn't one of love, but of anger. So we may ask ourselves, what impression of Christ do we give? Loving, caring, concern for people and their needs? Or is our Christ moody, distant, legalistic, disconnected from daily life? And is our love given freely? Or does it carry expectations that must be met before we show our love? Just as the source of love is God, the reality of love is action. As we demonstrate love, God is made more real in our own lives. And we should know that love is not cheap. God's love came at the expense of a cross. And we must also expect to pay a price if we are to show authentic love. There is risk of vulnerability, of misunderstanding, of rejection even. We must take a chance in order to love others. Some will reject it, others will misuse it, but there will be those who respond to it and who experience Christ's presence in our love. Psychiatrist Carl Menninger said, "Love cures. It cures those who give it, and it cures those who receive it." The life of love is not an easy or a common one, but it is the road that leads to Christ and to the abundance of fellowship with him. The good news of Christianity is God's unconditional love for us in Jesus. Regardless of who, what, where, or when, God loves us. He loves us no more and no less than he loves anyone else. He lived, died, rose, and reigns in Jesus for us, no more and no less than he lived, died, rose, and reigns for anybody else. His love is inclusive. Or, as is said, God so loved the world. Even people who are not in relationship with God through faith in Jesus are wanted by him. Jesus said, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus, and thus also God, does not want anyone left out of the wholeness, happiness, joy, and eternal security of life in the kingdom. That is why he is the good shepherd. He leads and loves people into confident living and eternal life. Now, it goes without saying that shepherds don't follow sheep. And that's especially true of our good shepherd. He knows who he is, who we are, and what we need to be and to do. We are God's people. He is the good shepherd. We follow where the good shepherd leads. The good shepherd knows what we need and leads the way. It's like that old song, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." The good shepherd leads, we follow. Should be noted that shepherd is also a metaphor for king. Jesus is the shepherd king. Describing the decision to become a disciple, Peter wrote, "You have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Practically, it means Jesus doesn't solicit suggestions on how to run the kingdom. He doesn't ask if we'd like to feed the hungry, house the homeless, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and all the rest. He directs us into the social responsibilities of the gospel. The good shepherd leads. Jesus is the good shepherd, unlike a hired hand who is paid to do a job. Our Jesus willingly and selflessly wants to help. John Calvin wrote these words, "Christ declare that he is the good shepherd who keeps his church safe and sound, first by himself and next by his agents. The good shepherd leads because he loves, and those who know the good shepherd follow him. Thanks be to God. Amen."